Our daily discussion of the great issues of life and death in the Bible has concentrated on a number of key issues. Firstly, we have asked the question, who are you as a member of the human race? Are you composed of an immortal soul and a corruptible body? Is there a part of you which cannot die? That has been a popular idea for many centuries among those claiming to be Christians. We have shown in previous broadcasts, however, that the idea that man is naturally immortal cannot be traced to the Bible. It comes, in fact, from the alien world of Greek philosophy. It was Plato and his followers who taught that there's an immortal spark in every person which cannot die. The tragedy is that many who sit in churches and listen to sermons do not question what they hear. It's assumed that what they're learning, or what they take for granted, comes from the Bible. That is why Acts 17, verse 11, is such a critically important verse. It's a verse which should be posted on fridge doors. Acts 17:11 describes the people in the town of Berea, a place where Paul preached the gospel. The Bereans, we read in this passage, examined the scriptures daily to see if what they were being taught was true. They did not just nod their heads in assent when Paul taught them. They listened carefully and then went and checked the information against the gold standard, the Bible. I think you may agree that people's belief system is so precious to them that they may not like to be challenged. It is all too easy to dismiss as wrong something which our own tradition does not believe. Very few seem willing to explore their beliefs and check them carefully in the Bible. This is particularly true of the biblical teaching about what happens when we die. Going to heaven is supposed to be what Christians are destined to do. Let me startle you, if I may, by suggesting that Jesus never promised heaven to any of his followers. That's right, going to heaven at death is the way we speak of the afterlife. But Jesus said no such thing. Where in the Bible is there a word about the dead going to heaven? Why not make this new year the time when you personally examine what you believe? Jesus never promised heaven as the reward for his followers. Listen to the well-known words of Jesus when he spoke of what a Christian is to hope for after death. Jesus said, "Blessed are the meek, for they're going to inherit the earth." Now that's pretty clear, surely. Blessed are the meek. They're going to have the earth as their possession. I do not understand why Christians everywhere do not use that language and so follow the teaching of Jesus. But you don't hear that verse quoted often. What you do hear is, if you want to go to heaven, or when I get to heaven, or so-and-so will not go to heaven. But no verses are quoted in support. Of course, it's true that Jesus talked about treasure in heaven, but he also said that the meek would have the earth as their possession. So how do we reconcile these two apparently opposing statements? Quite simply, your treasure is being stored up in heaven now as you prepare to inherit the earth when Jesus comes back. I have to confess that what I learned as a child in church is actually the opposite of what Jesus taught. I seem to learn that the moment I died, I would go to heaven if I'd been a believer. But Jesus says that the faithful will possess the earth. The Bible says that Jesus is coming back to reward his followers with positions of responsibility in his kingdom on the earth. Revelation 5:10 says that the destiny of the Christians is to be kings on the earth. Revelation 5, verse 10. Read it carefully and reread it. It spells out the Christian hope. The Christians are destined to rule as kings with Jesus on the earth. That's what that verse says, and it fits exactly with Jesus' earlier promise that the meek are going to inherit the earth. Matthew 5, verse 5. May I commend these two verses for your meditation? Revelation 5:10 and Matthew 5, verse 5. Contact us at the address given at the end of this program if these verses impress you in a new way. They are truly eye-opening. They more than confirm what a leading New Testament professor of the Bible in this century said, heaven in the Bible is nowhere the destination of the dying. End of quotation. Our reward is being stored up in heaven now, because that's where Jesus is now. He is no longer on the earth, but he's coming back. He has gone to prepare a place for us in his coming kingdom on the earth. Listen to the words of Jesus in Matthew 25, verse 34. He will say this to the ones who have truly followed him. Come and inherit the kingdom prepared for you. Now, when does he say this? The moment you die? No, the context shows that this is at the second coming of Christ. It is, and I quote, when the Son of Man comes in all his glory and sits on his throne of glory. Matthew 25, verse 31. The picture is most simple. When you die, you are really dead, the whole of you. There's no immortal soul or spirit, which is really you conscious without a body. That's not biblical at all. No, when you die, you lapse into unconsciousness, what the Bible calls the sleep of death, in Psalm 13, verse 3, for example. Then, when Jesus returns, he will awake the dead from their graves and make them immortal and give them the earth as their inheritance or possession. Ah, but you may say, didn't Jesus say that he was going to prepare a place in his Father's house? He certainly did. But what did he say in the next breath, in the next verse? He said, I will come back and take you to be with me so that you can be where I am. And where is that? Well, a mass of Bible verses say that Jesus is coming back to stay on the earth and rule the earth from Jerusalem. That's where Jesus is going to be, on the earth. So why would you want to go off to heaven if Jesus is not going to be there? It doesn't make any sense. The truth of the matter is simple and easy to grasp, although it may seem strange at first hearing if you've been taught something different. But let me rehearse the point for you once again. Jesus said that the meek are going to possess the earth, Matthew 5, verse 5. And the book of Revelation reveals that the faithful are going to rule on the earth, Revelation 5, verse 10. You will find in Revelation 20, verse 9, that the camp of the saints is going to be on the earth. And a mass of Old Testament scriptures confirm that the earth is to be the dwelling place of the faithful. You can have lots of fun looking these passages up with a concordance. Psalm 37, verse 11 is a good place to start, because that's the verse about inheriting the earth, or the land, which Jesus loved and quoted in Matthew 5, verse 5. Next time you hear someone say, when we get to heaven, or so-and-so is in heaven, remind them of John 3, verse 13, where Jesus said that no one has ascended to heaven. And remind them of Peter's words in Acts 2, verses 29 and 34, where he said that King David had not gone to heaven. Jesus is the only one who has gone to heaven so far, and he's going to come back to the earth, raise the faithful dead of all the ages, and then rule from Jerusalem with the faithful in the kingdom of God. The Bible is simply full of that truth about the future. It's so important that the Christian gospel, as Jesus and the apostles preached it, is actually called the gospel about the kingdom of God. You'll find that phrase in Luke 4, verse 43, and in Acts 8, verse 12. The kingdom is what Jesus always preached about when he preached the gospel, and Paul followed Jesus' example exactly. Look, for example, at Luke 9, verse 11. What did Jesus do when he held an evangelistic campaign? Luke records in Luke 9, verse 11, that Jesus welcomed the people and began to speak to them about the kingdom of God. Notice that he did not talk about going to heaven. That is not the way Jesus speaks about our future. He spoke about the hope of the coming kingdom of God. Now see how Luke in the book of Acts described how Paul preached the gospel. In Acts 28, verse 31, we read that Paul welcomed the people and preached the kingdom of God to them, exactly as Jesus had done before him. Do you see that Paul followed Jesus exactly and spoke about the kingdom of God? If you are following our discussion, you will naturally ask, what is the kingdom of God which the Bible makes the center of the gospel? The answer is not difficult, as long as we do not ignore the Bible out of which Jesus worked. I mean, of course, the Old Testament, the Hebrew Scriptures. The kingdom of God was the great hope of the nation of Israel. The kingdom means the royal dynasty of David established in Jerusalem. That's what the Bible normally means by the kingdom of God. Daniel had spoken in Daniel 2:44 of the kingdom as a world empire which would follow on the ruins of all present nation states. And Daniel 7, verse 27 says that the kingdom will be on the earth. It's called the kingdom of heaven in Matthew's gospel. But be careful, that does not mean that the kingdom will be in heaven only. It means it will come from heaven with Jesus when he comes back. The kingdom is heavenly because its origin is in heaven, but it will be established on this planet earth, and it will have its capital in Jerusalem. For some reason, some Bible teachers have turned the word kingdom into a kind of mystical symbol. But in all of the 4,000 times the word king and kingdom and rule appear in the Old Testament, they always mean a real kingdom with subjects and territory. One of the greatest mistakes is to believe that the kingdom of God has no territorial significance. Precisely the opposite is true. The kingdom will rule from Jerusalem. Jesus said that Jerusalem is the city of the great king, Matthew 5, verse 35. And Jerusalem is a geographical place on the earth, obviously. That's where Jesus will be, and that's where the Christians will be. When Jesus rules, there will be peace on earth, not the chaos on earth which we now witness. I wonder if you realize that even one murder a year is a vast tragedy and sin in the eyes of God. But here in Atlanta, hardly a day goes by without a shooting or stabbing, and a life is senselessly destroyed. That's an outrage against the will of God. Did you know that one divorce is a tragedy of great proportions in the eyes of God? Did you know that the Bible says that God hates divorce? Now, he can have compassion on those involved, but he still hates divorce. Especially he hates it because of the havoc it wreaks in the lives of innocent children. Have you wondered why churches don't seem to be able to demonstrate a much higher rate of stable marriages than amongst the unchurched? If Christianity was really working, things would not be like this. Something is sadly wrong. What is wrong is the fact that our tradition makes a considerable nonsense of the teaching of Jesus on many points. And one of those is this issue of what happens when we die and what we Christians can hope for in the future. A revolution is needed, and it will start when we begin to follow Jesus and say, "When I inherit the kingdom of God at the return of Jesus," and give up using unbiblical talk about going to heaven at death and immortal souls surviving their bodies. It may be that some of this material is new to you. Join us again tomorrow as we sum up our findings on the great issues of life and death and the gospel and salvation, which affect all of us equally. Contact us at the telephone number given at the end of this broadcast. We have some free literature we would like to send to you for your personal study. Meanwhile, may God bless you in your search for truth.